The way I figure it, everyone gets a miracle. Like, I will probably never be struck by lightning, or win a Nobel Prize, or become the dictator of a small nation in the Pacific Islands, or contract terminal ear cancer, or spontaneously combust. But if you consider all the unlikely things together, at least one of them will probably happen to each of us. I could have seen it rain frogs. I could have stepped foot on Mars. I could have been eaten by a whale. I could have married the Queen of England, or survived months at sea. But my miracle was different. My miracle was this. Out of all the houses, in all the subdivisions, in all of Florida, I ended up living next door to Margot Roth Spiegelman. Our subdivision, Jefferson Park, used to be a Navy base. But then the Navy didn't need it anymore, so it returned the land to the citizens of Orlando, Florida, who decided to build a massive subdivision, because that's what Florida does with land. My parents and Margot's parents ended up moving next door to one another just after the first houses were built. Margot and I were two. Before Jefferson Park was a Pleasantville, and before it was a Navy base, it belonged to an actual Jefferson. This guy, Dr. Jefferson Jefferson. Dr. Jefferson Jefferson has a school named after him in Orlando and also a large charitable foundation. But the fascinating and unbelievable but true thing about Dr. Jefferson Jefferson is that he was not a doctor of any kind. He was just an orange juice salesman named Jefferson Jefferson. When he became rich and powerful, he went to court, made Jefferson his middle name, and then changed his first name to Doctor, capital D, lowercase r, period. So Margot and I were nine. Our parents were friends, so we would sometimes play together, biking past the cul-de-sac streets to Jefferson Park itself, the hub of our subdivision's wheel. I always got very nervous whenever I heard that Margot was about to show up on account of how she was the most fantastically gorgeous creature that God had ever created. On the morning in question, she wore white shorts and a pink t-shirt that featured a green dragon breathing a fire of orange glitter. It is difficult to explain how awesome I found this t-shirt at the time. Margot, as always, biked standing up, her arms locked as she leaned above the handlebars, her purple sneakers a circuitous blur. It was a steam-hot day in March. The sky was clear, but the air tasted acidic, like it might storm later. At the time, I fancied myself an inventor, and after we locked up our bikes and began the short walk across the park to the playground, I told Margot about an idea I had for an invention called the Ringolator. The Ringolator was a gigantic cannon that would shoot big colored rocks into a very low orbit, giving Earth the same sort of rings that Saturn has. I still think this would be a fine idea, but it turns out that building a cannon that can shoot boulders into a low orbit is fairly complicated. I'd been in this park so many times before that it was mapped in my mind, so we were only a few steps inside when I began to sense that the world was out of order, even though I couldn't immediately figure out what was different. "Quentin," Margot said, quietly, calmly. She was pointing, and then I realized what was different. There was a live oak a few feet ahead of us, thick and gnarled and ancient-looking. That was not new. The playground on our right, not new either. But now a guy wearing a gray suit slumped against the trunk of the oak tree, not moving. This was new. He was encircled by blood, a half-dried fountain of it poured out of his mouth, the mouth open in a way that mouths generally shouldn't be, flies at rest on his pale forehead. "He's dead," Margot said, as if I couldn't tell. I took two small steps backward. I remember thinking that if I made any sudden movements, he might wake up and attack me. Maybe he was a zombie. I knew zombies weren't real, but he sure looked like a potential zombie. As I took those two steps back, Margot took two equally small and quiet steps forward. "His eyes are open," she said. "We gotta go home," I said. "I thought you closed your eyes when you died," she said. "Margot, we gotta go home and tell." She took another step. She was close enough now to reach out and touch his foot. "What do you think happened to him?" she asked. Maybe it was drugs or something. I didn't want to leave Margot alone with the dead guy who might be an attack zombie, but I also didn't care to stand around and chat about the circumstances of his demise. I gathered my courage and stepped forward to take her hand.
Margot, we gotta go right now!